Radio 98, Bob, you're on the air with John Clark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Clark, after listening to everything this morning, I think I've really got one question for you. And in your own words, I'd like to hear you explain, since I think the issue here today is job creation, how is the job created? Where do jobs come from, in your opinion?
Where do jobs come from?
Yeah, like do jobs just exist, or are they just something that's there, or is there a process involved in the creation of a job?
Well, what happens is that people own capital, and they set productive units in motion, and they hire people to perform work for them.
Now, that's interesting to hear you admit that. You're saying, therefore, that capital is the thing necessary to create jobs, and yet you have already denounced private enterprise, free trade, and capitalism as being evils, and that the profit motive does not serve the unemployed well. How do you account for this contradiction?
Well, the capital in the sense of factories and plants and equipment and what have you are, of course, integral to any system. But if I was describing capital as it exists at the moment, I was obviously describing the present system. I'm not saying that there isn't a better system, but you asked me how things are done, and I told you.
Well, certainly I'd be interested in your describing the better system.
Well, I mean, yes, I think that we could indeed say that that a better system would be one in which working people owned and controlled the means of production, and in which production took place not for the profit of private individuals, but for what was socially beneficial as a whole.
So what you prefer is profit for the worker rather than profit for the people who put it all together. How do you account for that contradiction? Isn't everyone entitled to earn money?
I would say that under the present system, profit is made, of course, not out of entrepreneurial skills, as they like to tell you at the Dale Carnegie courses. It really takes place out of the labor of working people, as it is done from time immemorial under one system or another.
Well, what you seem to be telling me is that management and people who organize and people who collect capital and put it together, they're not working. This is what you seem to be saying.
Yeah, I think that's about the size of it.
If I work for a company, and they pay me X number of dollars a week, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can, if I want to, go down to some stockbroker and buy a piece of the action. But you're suggesting that the means of production, et cetera, should be owned by the people who do the work, right?
I think that in that instance you'd probably be operating on a rather smaller scale than Conrad Black. I think you'd find the situation loaded against you. The rags to riches story is the gruesome exception.
But it is a possibility, though.
There are those who stole their grandmother's gold teeth and never looked back. But they are the exception.
But there are companies that do allow equity participation on the part of their staff or their employees.
Yes, they do, and for the most part, I would regard that as a shabby fraud.
Why is that?
I think that you have a situation where workers produce profits.
Mm-hmm.
They take back a portion of their labor in the form of wages. Whether you give that the glossy name of profit sharing and introduce quality circles and other collaborationist measures to try and sugar the pill, it comes down to the same thing. You're producing profit for the employer by working as a worker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this sounds very familiar to me.
Mr. Clark, you're saying, therefore, that if the workers own the factory, how are they going to get paid if they're not to make profit?
Well, I mean, this is all fascinating stuff, but I mean, really and truly, I came here today to talk about the attack that was made on us at the London and District Labour Council. I mean, you call in, perhaps I could ask you where you stand on that. Do you think that the Labour Council was correct in booting us out? What do you think about that issue?
Well, I think it's irrelevant to me, because I think the issue is job creation. Your infighting between your various left-wing groups
is really
of concern to me, and I think that you are quite... let us say, morally evasive at the very least, to not identify yourself as a communist, which I believe you are. You didn't deny it, after all. And if someone called me a communist, I would deny it vehemently, and I will here state in front of you that I'm a capitalist, and I believe in the capitalist system as being the only system that can create the jobs that you seem to want so much. Listen to what you've said this morning already. You admitted already that the minimum wage causes unemployment, and then you went and advocated a higher minimum wage. If the minimum wage works so well, why not go for $100 an hour? Why not?
The reason for not going for $100 an hour is because we're not going to get it. The point is that we fight for what we can realistically win. Now,
you can get $7 an hour. What happens to everyone whose labor is worth less than $7 an hour? You don't seem to care about them being unemployed.
Oh, I think that all the capitalists who find themselves out of work because of the lack of value for the parasitic existence they live at the moment, they'll have my full support and sympathy. And we'll put them through productive labor.
Good. I mean, these people need jobs. People need jobs no matter what their political stripe. There is a reality here that you don't want to deal with. I mean, okay, look at the other things you're looking at.
This is really public
works. Where does the money come for that?
This is getting really, truly absurd.
That's because I'm addressing the premise of what you think, and you don't like to have that addressed, do you?
What is the absurdity in your view, John?
The absurdity is this, that I came on this program today to talk about the split with the London and District Labour Council, not to be a party to a party political broadcast for the Freedom Party.
Well, I thank you for that plug, but it's not necessary. I've been doing this a long time before I've been active with the Freedom Party. You're evading my questions, Mr. Clark.
I'm not interested in answering your questions. There are no consequence to me. I mean, I come on here to talk about something that happened within the labor movement, and you come on here and want to talk to me about the glories of free enterprise and laissez-faire capitalism and other political irrelevance. It means nothing to me.
You haven't then... Tell me, how is the job going to be created? I want to hear your process. You haven't created a job yet, not either in theory or in practice. I want to hear your explanation of how a job can be created under the system that you propose. I can't see it.
Perhaps you're not listening to me. Allow me to say it again. I regard you and your organization and your mentor to be a guru of political irrelevance. It means nothing to me. It's of no interest to me. I don't want to debate with you. I don't want to discuss with you. You offend me. You revolt me. Please go away.
Well, Mr. Clark, surely
okay, Bob,
you realize
Bob,
you
Bob, hang on. Hang on. I'm going to give you the last word here, and then we'll move on.
Well, I've got to say that Mr. Clark's evasion is very indicative of what he stands for, and I hope people are listening to this morning, because Mr. Clark does not believe in the freedom of people to work for whom they will. He comes off with all these Marxist platitudes that people are swallowing left, right, and center. Every single policy the man advocates creates unemployment, and it's a statistical fact. I mean, there's just not an exception to the rule, and the man doesn't want to deal with it, and it's quite evident by his manners this morning.
Thank you for your call. We'll move on.